Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We welcome you today on behalf of Let the Bible Speak to this broadcast. We thank you for tuning in, and we trust that the Word of God will be a blessing to your soul today. We're going to take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer before we read His Word and ask the Lord for His blessing, even upon the reading and preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today that Thou art the Almighty God. Thou art the one who is from everlasting to everlasting. And we thank Thee that the salvation that Thou hast provided for sinners who turn from sin and trust in Christ is an everlasting salvation. And we ask as we consider Thy word today that Thou wilt speak to our hearts, that Thou wilt speak through Thy word and by Thy Holy Spirit, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from the prophecy of Isaiah and the chapter 51, and the opening six verses of Isaiah 51, where the prophet, or rather the Lord through the prophet, says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. And mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me. And on mine arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. And look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke. And the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Amen. And we know God will bless even the reading of his word to our hearts. Now we're going to join together in a hymn which says, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Our text is found in Isaiah 51 and the verse 6. And it is particular words toward the end of the verse I want to draw your attention to, where we read, but my salvation shall be forever. It is the everlasting salvation of God that we want to consider today. The Lord, through the prophet here in Isaiah 51, was addressing his people, the people of Israel, concerning his salvation. You will see in the opening verses of the chapter that they were being called to hearken to the Lord, as those who sought after the Lord, as those who could trace themselves back to Abraham and to Sarah. In verse 4, there is again a call from the Lord for them to hearken to him. He calls them my people and my nation. And of course, every saved sinner throughout the world can be described as one of the Lord's people. Because in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, as Peter addressed believers, he addressed them as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, and a peculiar people. In Isaiah 51, in the verse 5, the Lord refers to his salvation as having gone forth. He said that the isles would wait upon him, meaning that salvation was not only for the Jews, but also for the Gentile nations. He said that on his arm would they trust. And it's interesting to trace the references to the Lord's arm, referring to his power and his strength, even in this prophecy of Isaiah. But as I said, I want to come to the verse 6 as our text, and I want to focus in upon the everlasting salvation of God. We see in our text, first of all, there is a contrast. In the verse 6, there is that call, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And then we read, but my salvation shall be forever. There's a contrast drawn here between the heavens and the earth, which, as our text says, will vanish away like smoke and wax old like a garment. But God's salvation shall be forever. We think of the heavens and the earth, and we know from Genesis chapter 1 that in the space of 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing by the word of his power. And yet when man fell and man sinned, well, the heavens and the earth were affected. We discover in Genesis 3 and 17 that the Lord said, cursed be the ground for thy sake when man sinned, when man fell. We think of Genesis chapter 6, when in the days of Noah, and God looked upon the earth and looked upon mankind, and it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And so God said he was going to destroy the earth and mankind. And he did that by means of a worldwide flood. We know that Noah was safe because he had God's salvation. And when we turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3, and the verses 6 and 7, we are taught there that just as the world that then was in Noah's day was overflowed with water and perished, so the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, they're kept in store, and they are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And in that same chapter of 2 Peter 3, and the verses 10 to 12, again, we are assured that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And this contrast between what will happen to the earth as we know it and God's salvation emphasizes the everlasting nature of God's salvation. The heavens and the earth shall pass away. But for saved sinners, if you have turned from sin and trusted in Christ for salvation, the salvation you have received will be forever. And therefore, to refer again to 2 Peter 3, in the verse 13 we read, Nevertheless, we, that is we who are saved, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Coming back to your text here in Isaiah 51 and 6, it says of God's righteousness that it shall not be abolished. The contrast in Isaiah 51 and 6 also mentions that those who dwell upon the earth shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever. Man's existence upon earth will come to an end at death. Now we know, of course, that the soul lives on in either heaven or hell. But again, there's this contrast. On the one hand, man's existence upon earth comes to an end at death, as far as his life on earth is concerned. But God's salvation never comes to an end. God's salvation is forever. You will find the same contrast drawn in other portions of Scripture between the heavens and the earth and God. Between the heavens and the earth and the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. I ask you the question as you listen today. Have you turned from your sin and by faith received this everlasting salvation? Because the Word of God warns that if you continue in your sin, unsaved and out of Christ, and without God's salvation, you will experience everlasting punishment in hell and in the lake of fire. And so when we think about God's everlasting salvation, there is this contrast drawn. But then I want you to note in the second place that there is a comparison. Here in Isaiah 51 and verse 6, when the Lord stated that his salvation shall be forever, he also said that his righteousness shall not be abolished. His salvation and his righteousness are forever because he is forever in his person. He is the eternal God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And therefore we make the comparison between God's salvation, which shall be forever, and God himself in his person and character, who shall be forever. In Isaiah 40 and the verse 28, God is set before us as the everlasting God. In Isaiah 9 in verse 6, the Lord Jesus, we are told, is the child born and the son given. And he's the everlasting Father, or the Father of eternity. Therefore, we're saying, because God is everlasting in his person, then his salvation is everlasting. And everything connected with God in his character, in his nature, is everlasting. We draw this comparison. The psalmist declared that the mercy of the Lord is everlasting. And when Paul wrote to Titus, he declared that it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy that he saved us. That everlasting mercy. In another psalm, we read that God's righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. Just as the Lord, through Isaiah, says here in Isaiah 51 and 6, that my righteousness shall not be abolished. We think of that perfect righteousness which the Lord Jesus provided by his sinless life. And when by faith we receive him as our Savior, we receive that perfect righteousness and we are justified before God. The psalmist in Psalm 145 and 13 says that God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And we're thinking of this comparison between God as the everlasting God and his everlasting salvation and everything connected with it. The book of Revelation refers to the everlasting gospel that is preached to them that dwell on the earth. And it is this gospel that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We think of the familiar words of John 3:16, which teaches us that when we turn from sin and believe in Christ for salvation, we receive everlasting life. We come back here to Isaiah 51, and down in the verse 11, it speaks of that everlasting joy. That everlasting joy that is connected with God's everlasting salvation. In another part of Isaiah's prophecy in the chapter 26 and verse 4, we are called upon to trust in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The comparison then that is made in our text in Isaiah 51 and 6 and in many other places in the scripture is this. God's salvation shall be forever. It is an everlasting salvation because God is forever in his person and in his character. He loves his people with an everlasting love. But again, the warning must be sounded out as you listen to God's word today. If you reject this everlasting salvation, if you will not turn from your sin and place your faith in Christ for salvation, you will rather experience everlasting punishment. And what a contrast that is to the everlasting salvation which God provides and offers to you in the gospel. And so here in Isaiah 51 and verse 6, as we think upon God's everlasting salvation, we have noted the contrast and the comparison. But I want you to think then about the comfort of God's everlasting salvation. God says through the prophet in this verse 6, but my salvation shall be forever. And what a comfort that ought to bring to you if you have turned from sin and trusted in Christ for salvation. Nothing can separate the saved sinner from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are truly saved, if you have God's salvation in your soul, nothing or no one can separate you from that love and from that salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, as you come near the end of that particular chapter, the Apostle Paul asks the question in Romans 8 and 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he begins to ask, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And he continues through a list. And then he concludes in verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, of course, this is not an excuse to live in a careless manner if we profess to be the Lord's. Because if we are truly saved, we will want to live lives that honour the Lord and are pleasing to him. Oh, there are some who would maybe say because they've made a profession of faith, they would think they can live as they like because God's salvation is an everlasting salvation. But such an attitude does not prove that they have experienced truly God's everlasting salvation. God's everlasting salvation does bring comfort to your hearts. And in this particular chapter of Isaiah 51, we find in the verses 7 and 8, which go beyond our text and the verses that we have read, again this call, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. We're talking about the comfort that God's salvation brings. And because it brings comfort, we need not fear the reproach of men. The verse 8 says, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worms shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. We need not fear if we have received this everlasting salvation. There is comfort to be drawn from it. Once again, in this chapter down in verse 12, the Lord says, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? The Lord is the one who comforts us. There is comfort when we have received his salvation. We think of the Psalm 46, which declares that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. To know God, to have received his salvation, brings comfort to our hearts. We need not fear, even though the earth be removed, when God is our refuge and strength. Even when the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, we can be still and know that he is God. The comfort we draw from God's everlasting salvation is also everlasting. Because the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16, he wrote these words, Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us, listen to it, everlasting consolation, and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. I trust today you'll meditate upon God's everlasting salvation. If you've never turned from sin and received Christ, trust in him for salvation today. And if you're saved, rejoice and take comfort in the salvation you have received from the Lord. May God bless his word to your heart. And we're just going to bow for a moment in prayer as we bring our broadcast to a close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art the everlasting God, that the salvation that you have provided is an everlasting salvation. And we pray today that sinners will flee from the wrath to come, lest they experience everlasting punishment, that they will turn from sin and trust in Christ and his finished work for salvation. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.